Advent is both a strange and a beautiful season. Each year, society tries to rush us into preparing for Christmas, whether it's hoisting our trees or buying our presents. And yet, also every year, the church fights ever so valiantly to hold us back, and for good reason. The gospel reading for this first Sunday in Advent is always apocalyptic, and what we just heard from Luke is a perfect example of that genre. It's full of urgency, catastrophe, but it is also a message of hope. It calls us to live into the expectation that something new is coming. Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Quite a contrast from all those baby Jesus stories we might expect. And that, in a nutshell, is the bifurcated nature of Advent. It's about both the first coming of Christ and the second. It's about standing in the past and the future, much as we are called to do as stewards of this place. A church whose history has been shaped not just once, but twice by a fire. And those are the stories I'd like to tell you today. The first was the one we've probably all heard of, the Great Chicago Fire. And that will be a story of a man named Franklin Cossett. Although he was born in Connecticut, he moved to Tennessee and he bought a cotton plantation. The labor on that farm was done by enslaved people, and the farm was destroyed very early in the Civil War. So he moved again, this time on the advice of his good friend, General Sherman, and he opened a wholesale grocer in Chicago in 1862. After a while, he bought 440 acres of land in what is now the north part of Lyons Township. Believe it or not, he bought the land because he thought it had very good drainage. And that way they could avoid the malaria that was going around. Well, then in 1871, as we know, the Great Fire destroyed many people's homes and businesses, including his grocery store. And so Cossett decided to focus on developing his land out here in the western suburbs. In fact, he actually added a partial interest to another 160 acres, including the parcel on which we stand today. Before we move on in the story, I want to take a moment and remind us that this land was never Cossett's to buy in the first place. It belonged to native peoples in the beginning, and I hope that one day we will do the work to be able to tell that part of our story. But for now, let us just pause for a moment and thank them for their ancestral stewardship of this land. Now, Cossett had a daughter named Mary, and Mary had married a guy named David Lyman, who was also a real estate developer. And so the two families combined their land holdings. They wanted to call this new village Kensington. But it turns out that name was already taken in Illinois. And so Cossett named it after his old hometown in Tennessee, LaGrange. In case you're curious, at the time, you could buy a lovely brand new house in LaGrange for $2,000. Lyman was the son of Protestant missionaries to Hawaii, and so religion had been a big part of his life. Starting in 1872, he invited people to his house to worship, and they worshiped in the Episcopal way. As more people gathered, they decided it was time to form a church together. And so they organized as a parish in December 1874, exactly 150 years ago. They called this new parish Emmanuel. The families donated this land, which at the time was the very geographical center of LaGrange, in order to build a church. And as a side note, there is also an Emmanuel Episcopal Church in LaGrange, Tennessee. It's been there since 1832, and no doubt Cosset knew it well. They actually watch our live stream once in a while and say hello. So I hope you are with us today, and thank you for being part of our story. Now, I found a copy of this Emmanuel's first parish report. It was written in 1875, and it was buried in the library at Sewanee. They had grown to 20 families, and they wrote this. This is a parish in the suburbs of Chicago of 2 years' existence. The community is small. There is at present no church edifice in the place, but one is in the course of erection and of stone. The material for it has been mainly given. The indications are many that with God's blessing, a strong parish will be established here in time and be the center of a large missionary work. Now, we don't know who wrote it, but Cosset certainly had a hand in that. And he was being modest because he was also the one who donated the stone for the church they were building. It came from his quarry, which, of course, wait for it, was on Stone Avenue. And it didn't take long for that to come to fruition because the building was done in 1878. The next year, the village of LaGrange incorporated with a booming population of 500. And so that means there has been an Emmanuel Episcopal Church in LaGrange longer than there has been a LaGrange. So in a very real sense, we can thank the Chicago Fire not only for this village, but also this land and this parish. But then fire struck again. And this is weird, but this time it was exactly 100 years ago to the day. A fire broke out in the original church, reducing it to what the Chicago Tribune called a mass of smoldering ruins and skeleton stone walls. We still don't know what caused it, although there is a conspiracy theory if you want to talk about it later. But we do know that once again, parishioners stepped up to the challenge. Pledges flooded in to rebuild. And this time, they wanted something more impressive. There's a letter that survives from the building committee, and they said in there that they no longer wanted a, quote, small country church, because LaGrange was no longer a small country town. Instead, they asked the architect to design a modern Gothic cathedral for a sophisticated suburb that was full of city folk. And amazingly enough, it was only 16 months until the first service was held in this building on Easter Sunday in 1926. But we'll say more about that when we celebrate our next big anniversary, which will be the 100th anniversary of this church. So that, my friends, is our past. But how about our future? Well, that is very much up for us to decide, because we can cherish our past without being bound by it. Just as Emmanuel's founders chose to be a church together 150 years ago, we are here because we continue to choose to be church together. That then brings me back to the nature of this season. I mentioned earlier the traditional view of Advent that holds together in tension the first coming and the next, the past and the future. But that runs the risk of turning us into just passive observers, sitting around to see what God has in store for us. It ignores the present. It ignores the brokenness, the darkness. It ignores the reality of human lives. And perhaps most importantly, it ignores what the Holy Spirit is doing today in this place. So I would offer that there is another coming of Christ into the present moment. The great medieval mystic Bernard of Clairvaux once preached this in an Advent sermon. Because this middle coming lies between the other two, It is like a road on which we travel from the first coming to the last. In the first, Christ was our redemption. In the last, he will appear as our life. In this middle coming, he is our rest and consolation. So this season is also very much about the here and now. We come here to meet Christ, both in our worship and in the faces of the people around us. And that means it is our turn to take up the mantle of stewardship for this land, this building, and this parish. It's our turn to leave not just Emmanuel, but also our community and our world better than we found it. Because that is what God calls us to do. Not under our own power, thank God, but under God's. And so the past, the present, and the future all get drawn together into one beautiful cosmic moment. That is Advent. That is God with us. That is Emmanuel. Amen.